Go to Mark 11. Now, everything you read about the temple, remember all these things foreshadowing examples of what's going on inside you. Say, I am the temple. Say that the tabernacle of God is with man. Now, it's real easy to enter in if you see there's a temple dwelling in you. If you can get that imagery painted by the word of God of that temple dwelling in you, it's easier to enter in that way. In fact, when I enter in, the Bible says we have access by faith into this grace, having therefore boldness to enter into the holiest of all by the new and the living way, consecrated. When I enter in, you know what I do now? I approach the door, I acknowledge the Lord, instead of sit on this side of the door, you know, like that's the door right there. I don't stand on this side of the door and talk to him. I used to, and I was waiting. I just speak. What I do is I just, by faith, transport myself inside the room and speak like I'm already there. Even though I'm not, I'm speaking like, in other words, you hide me in your tabernacle. I'm hidden in your tabernacle. I'm hidden under. And if you'll do that, you'll move in much faster. You hideth me. Instead of like, you hide me, I need to get over there. You hide me in there, so I'm already in there. Start there, amen? You'll move in the kingdom much faster if you start from the place you already are positionally. In other words, the Bible says you're seated together with Christ. You're already seated. Now, you got to move there, but start there. It says, you hide me under the shadow. I'm under your shadow. So I see myself under the shadow, even though I'm not feeling like it. That's how I see it in the spirit. I said, I'm under your shadow. Or you hide me in your pavilion from the strife. I'm in your pavilion. Even though I'm not feeling like it, I'm positioning there instead of from this side of the door wanting to come in. I'm already in. And you'll move faster if you do that, because you're already where he said you were. Amen. If you just get where he says you are, you'll be where he says you are. Get your faith in the finished place. Start from the finished place and work backwards. Amen? Instead of start from here and go to the finished place, just start from the finish and say, emotions, body, everything else, catch up. I'm going to get here already by faith, and everything else can catch up. It'll catch up real fast. You'll move right in there. That's not the message, but that was good anyway. Mark chapter 11:11. Now, the Lord, he goes into the temple here. All right. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem, into the temple. And when he looked around about all things, now eventide was come, he went out into Bethany with the 12. So he enters in the temple. He doesn't say anything. He looks. He's doing an inspection. He's wanting to know, is my house a house of prayer? Is my temple a house of prayer, or is it full of covetousness? Well, he didn't find what he liked, but he didn't say anything. He went in there, looked around, then he left. He was not happy. How do you know he wasn't happy? Because he came back. And this time he had a scourge in his hand. Amen. Hallelujah. Imagine he might have been fumigating for the night if he could. On the morrow when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And see, he saw the fig tree afar off having leaves, and he came and happily might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. And the time of figs was not yet. Jesus answered and said unto him, no man shall eat fruit of thee forever. Now, the Lord didn't do things randomly just to go to a tree to impress his disciples. He was upset with the whole system he just walked into the day before. He saw it. It was a den of thieves. It was a den of covetousness. You're going to see in a minute. He brings a scourge in there. He's going to clean that temple out. He was very upset. That place was supposed to be a house of prayer. That was the place where people would come and congregate, hear the word of the Lord, and covetousness had filled the gates of that temple. They couldn't even get in unless they passed through covetousness, and he wasn't happy about it at all. And so when he comes and sees that fig tree, he says, no man's going to eat from this system anymore. It's coming down. And he spoke to that tree right there. He was speaking to that fallen system right there. And he said, no man's going to eat fruit. And when that fig tree withered right there, it may have took 30 more years for it to wither. But he right then spoken into that whole system. He goes, there's a new system coming. This one's over. And he's seeing a fig tree afar off. Verse 15, and came to Jerusalem. Now he goes back into the temple. There's going to be times, I'm going to tell you the difference between blessing and covetousness. Because a lot of people can be covetous, and there's some people can be highly blessed, And it's two different things. God's in the blessing. Now he walks up into that temple and he did not like what he saw. I'm going to ask you right now, see, your heart, your interior kingdom of God dwells here. What's going on in your temple? What's occupying your temple? Is God occupying it? What's going on here? Is he just full of want all the time, full of need? It's not wrong to desire. It all depends on what's going on in there. Is your temple full of God or is it full of the world? If it's full of God, God will add to you. If it's full of God, he'll start multiplying for you. If it's full of God, God will give you something and watch you. Oh, you handle that? Well, let's give him some more. Handle that one good. Let's give him some more. He said, God, my cup is running over. He said, we're just getting started. That's where I start when the cup starts running over. So I want my cup to run over. That's where God works. My cup runs over. When you say it's running over, he keeps pouring. He doesn't stop. That's the way he likes it. Running over. He said it needs to run over. Let it get on some people around you. So he goes in there. Look at this. Jesus went in the temple. Now, if your heart is not right, this is what's going to happen. He loves you enough. He's going to bring a scourge. How many of you ever had him do this? Take you through a season and scourge a few things that was sitting in the gateway of your temple. Misalignment will cost you. And Jesus went in the temple, verse 15, and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold the doves. He will not suffer that any man would carry any vessel through the temple. And he said unto him, watch this, get this, look at it, put eyeballs by it. Verse 17, he taught, saying, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations a house of prayer? I want you to see that inside you, of all nations, your temple is first and foremost a place of meeting with God. Your temple inside is first and foremost a tabernacle of meeting and for the indwelling God. Know you not that you are the temple of the living God? As God had said, I will walk in you. I will dwell in you. Wherefore, he said, come out from among them, separate yourself unto me, and I'll be a father to you. That's the first and foremost. And if anything's occupying your gates, see, the devil can't even come up in that temple, so he sits at the gate. Sits at the gates of the heart, and he wants to fill the heart with the world. He wants to fill the heart with the systems of this world. God wants to fill your heart with him. Let me tell you something. When you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, body, and strength, he's going to give you stuff. He is going to bless you big. When you start meeting with God there in the temple of the living God and start dwelling, that's not covetousness. That's the blessing of the Lord coming. Come on, somebody that's in alignment, that has their heart full of the Father, not full of the world. But if you got your heart full of the world and all of those money changers are sitting at the gate of the temple inside, God's not going to be adding to that system. He's not going to add to something he's wanting to cut down. If he sees that, what's he going to do? He'll probably go to sleep and come back tomorrow and say, no more is going to eat fruit. No more of that stuff. You ever been through a season where God cut some things off of your life? He probably saw something he didn't like. Now, I wish some of that stuff would fall off the first day, but sometimes that stuff's got to fall out over seasons. You go, what are you doing? After the season's over, you go, oh, thank you, Lord. This is how you know the Father will be everything to you. That place will be a house of prayer for you. If your temple is not a house of prayer, that's your first priority. And that's his first priority. And if you're not moving in that place and experiencing him, you're not in first priority. If you're not in first priority, you're out of alignment. If you're out of alignment, they got this commercial. All the bad stuff happens. If you don't get cable TV, then this will happen. Then this will happen. Then you'll go and find out this will happen. Then you'll drive your car, you know, and it goes down the line. If you get out of alignment, things start happening. If your house is a house of prayer, Put your hand on your temple. Say, my temple is a house of prayer. It's the tabernacle, the tent of meeting. It's where God dwells. I will not allow covetousness at the doorway. I speak to those thieves. I say, get out. See, when your heart's full of God, He wants to bless. There's a difference. The blessing of the Lord in a heart full of covetousness. That temple's full of covetousness. That is not pleasing to God. If it's heart's full of fellowship, that's why what's the first thing you do when you go in that temple? Hallowed be thy name. If you've lost the worship, if you've lost the praise, you haven't lost too far. You're just not where He is. He'll just move through the door. The Father's there. He can get a few things out of the way and get some entanglements out of the way. He's going to fill your temple with His glory. It's so good right now. I'm not going to just sit here and tell you every day I see you how good it is, but it's good. It's glorious right now. He is really, really, really awesome to be with. He loves us so much. He wants us to be enraptured in His love. Raptured in His goodness. He told me, he said, you keep hanging out here, you're going to see my blessing. Because that's the place kingdom transfers there. You're going to see that. He goes, don't leave this place when it happens. God wants to know you got enough rooting and grounding when He does start doing something where you don't leave the source. If you just put this, my house will always be a house of prayer. Whenever I lose that place, you're already going to get out of alignment. You might be running the momentum of what you birth, but if you ever lose this place right here, you're going to be out of alignment. If you keep this place full, you'll always stay in alignment. Because God told Solomon when he stood there, he says, listen, Solomon, if you come to this place and pray, my eye will be upon you. And my ear will incline to what you pray from this temple. And I'll set my name there forever. My heart and my eyes will be there perpetually. But if you leave this place, if you leave and go serve other gods, and Solomon, you think in his heart, I'd never do that. And he did it. His wives turned his heart. I'd imagine after 300, how many wives? 700 wives? He had 300 wives, 700 concubines, or he had 700 concubines, 300 wives. Regardless, he was a busy man. They stole his heart. But you know, Solomon got everything given to him. He didn't suffer much in his lifetime. David gave everything to him. His father did, but he didn't. See, those that go through something in this life, you walk through the valley, you get things too easy from God, and you don't respect them, you'll lose them. You'll find salvation's a free gift, but boy, when you walk in the high place of God, it's a slippery place, and you got to learn to respect the levels you come into and respect the anointing you come into and respect what it costs to get it and respect what it costs to keep it. Respect the glory that comes up in your tabernacle, because not everybody's got Shekinah glory up in their tabernacle. Not very many generations get Shekinah glory up in their tabernacle. When they do, all the nations will come to it. Do you want the nations to come to your ministry? You don't even have to go to them. They'll come to you. Get God's Shekinah glory up in your tabernacle, and I promise you they will come from all over to eat from the glory. You know why God will send them? Because there's so many people that don't know how to go up into the heavens and get it from the Father. But if He's got the kingdom on somebody here, He's going to send everybody to where that kingdom's flowing. Because somebody found out how to access the kingdom. Somebody found out how to receive the kingdom. And He'll bring cities and nations to come and eat from those who've got it on them. Like Shambach, they said, you think God will ever use me? He said, my God, woman, He'll work you to death. If you get something on you, you never have to worry about building anything. That's why God told me every time you walk through these doors, don't worry about how many empty seats there are. That's not the season we're in right now. He goes, get my glory on your tabernacle. Get my glory on the congregation. Find out how to get it, Find out how that transfer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Do you know that that does not transfer in this jurisdiction? That was a transfer that happened in the secret place. Matthew 6:6 said it. You can go read it in your Bible. Now, he goes in to pray. Right after he cleaned the temple, now he's ready to show you how to pray. See, right here. We're still in the same chapter in verse 22. Jesus said, have faith in God. Now he's going to teach you how to pray. It's not until he cleans your temple. I had a temple cleansing recently. Big one. It wasn't an area of covetousness. It was in another area. I went up in there and I hit his light. That's some serious light. That kind of light is not the bright light. That was a sword that cuts through darkness. And he cuts something out and just cleans that threshold. When God does that, he's getting you ready to fill your tabernacle. There's some things that are occupying. Sometimes there's vines all around your tabernacle, all around the door. They're trying to creep into the heart, and you've got to get that stuff out. Because God's working in here first. When we get like that, we're all burdened out. We're always wanting God to do something out here. Oh, come on, God. One day he's going to come, wishing, waiting. You don't understand. He doesn't do that. He comes to here first. It's all going to originate here. What's going on here is the most important part of your life. That's why the enemy's always wanting to make entrance. Everything he's bringing against you is for one purpose, to get inside you, to develop strongholds up in there. He wants to burn you down. He wants to create strongholds, and he wants to block the kingdom of God from your life. How many know the Lord's a strong tower? You're a strong habitation unto me, whereunto I continually resort. I love it, especially when the enemy's fighting me. I said, just hang on. Just hang right on in. I'm going to go hide for a minute. Well, especially when he's active, I said, you just hang on right there. I go straight up my prayer closet. I said, I will not leave this room until I get away from him. Because I'm not going to fight him in the natural. I am not fighting with devils in the natural. I'm going to get in with God. And I get in there, and I stay in there until I shut the door. And when I'm in there, peace, rest. It's just another world. And I look at him and I said, I told you you couldn't come in here. They know they can't come in. Got to watch what's going on here. This is what our calling is, to teach you about this little thing right here. This big thing right here. This temple inside you. This is the calling of this church. To teach you how to operate, access, receive, and then demonstrate. We are on the demonstration leg right now. We're on the receiving leg, which is a good place to be. Every time we hit a new revelation, we're thinking, this is it, this is it, this is it. And then you find out, what is left? What could possibly be left? And then, oh, the Lord's Prayer, all hidden up over the veil of religion. No wonder the enemy veiled it over with religion. Do you know they, in Luke 11, asked the Lord, teach us to pray. Asked him. And that's what he said to him. And the enemy knew what power was up in there. He knew he had to stop us from going in there. So he covered over religion, killed its life. There's an exchange of glory in there. There's an exchange of love with the Father. It's everything you want. He'll give you everything you ever wanted and more. In fact, it's hard to get to stage two. I'm going to be honest with you. Stage two is transference phase. It's very hard to get past the Father unless you have a whole lot of time, because he's so glorious. You don't want to leave the worship. It's just too good. And it's there every day. So he says, have faith in God. Then he talks about how to pray after he's cleansed the temple. He says, now when you pray, believe that you receive. Now, if he was talking about the temple and he cleansed the temple and said, my house is a house of prayer, don't you know he's prefacing that when you pray in my temple? Believe that you receive. We have to have that transference. Then you shall have. Go to Ephesians 3. Let him cleanse your temple. Keep your temple a house of prayer. That's what it's there for, to meet with God. He expects you to have a very high priority. He wants to be first. He doesn't like anything overlaying your temple, distracting you from what's going on inside there. Oh, the things we try to build outside of God. You know what I mean? Just the stuff we try to build. Boy, if we just get him in our tabernacle, he's going to build it. He's going to build it. Listen to this. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. See that? Fellowship of the mystery. Which from the beginning of the world has been hidden in God. He hid all this in God and created all things by Jesus Christ. Verse 10. If you don't have a King James, your Bible will probably read this wrong. To the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Very difficult verse right there. Verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ, in whom we have boldness and access. Now, verse 9, he says, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which was from the beginning of the world was hidden in God, but now it's made manifest. To the intention, and this is the intention of this manifestation. So the intention of it, to make all men see. Notice this, to the intention that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, comma, the manifold wisdom of God. Whatever was going to be known by the church, this was going to be the manifold wisdom of God. More importantly, he talks right after this. He says this, according to the eternal purpose. He eternally purposed that this realm would be understood by the church. The eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ, in whom we have boldness and access. We have boldness and access to this eternal purpose. I'm sure that clarified that all up for you, didn't it? Go to Ephesians 1 real quick. Ephesians 1 and 3, you've been blessed with all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Ephesians 1, he raised Christ up into the right hand of God. Ephesians 2, he raised you up into the right hand of God. Everything about Ephesians was getting you positioned in the eternal purpose of God to sit with him in heavenly places, to function with him in heavenly places, to operate in heavenly places. So watch what he says in Ephesians 1. I know you think you've heard this, but you hadn't heard this yet. Verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. You remember what verse 9 said in chapter 3? The fellowship of the mystery. They're talking about the exact same thing. In chapter 3 said, this is the fellowship of the mystery. Now in verse 9, he says, the mystery of his will. The two verse 9s are talking about the same thing. Okay? Here we go. Having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to good pleasure which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, stop right there. Turn to Galatians 4. Dispensation of fullness of times is not what's coming. Everyone look at your neighbor and say, I am in the dispensation of the fullness of times now. Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of times was come, God sent forth his son. So as the fullness of times come. Okay, so we're in the fullness of times now, right? Okay, go back to Ephesians 1 in verse 10. This is really good. This is the purpose. Now let's look at verse 9 again. Having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to good pleasure which he purposed in himself. So whatever he's about to say, he purposed this. The Father purposed this. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, that's right now, still a dispensation we live in right now, right? He might gather together in one all things in Christ, which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him. I know you didn't get that because you'd been jumping right off your chair if you did. He merged heaven and earth in Christ. Heaven meets earth in Christ. Earth meets heaven in Christ. When you move into Christ, you're not on the earth. You're in heavenly places. And it's where all transaction from heaven and earth are done, in Christ. All transaction from heaven and earth in the dispensation of the fullness of times, God eternally purposed it that he was going to bring heaven to earth. And the way he was going to do it was Christ. And that Christ in us, the hope of glory, is where heaven meets earth. Heaven dwells here. Christ in us dwells here. And it's where heaven's going to move through. And it's where you meet heaven. You got to step out of yourself and step back in. Pardon me, I'm going to step out and I'm going to step back in. Got to go out from among them and then I go back in. Come out from among them and then go back in. Just like Moses, he came out and went in the tabernacle. You just got to go out of yourself. And you got to get back in there in something inside you. It's called Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's the fellowship of the mystery where heaven and earth combine. It's where you're going to meet Father face to face. It's where you're going to worship Father face to face. It's where the Father's going to love you the way he's been wanting to love you ever since the fall of Adam. Somebody say amen. Go to Ephesians 3, verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Same thing he was talking about in verse 1 when he called it the mystery of his will in verse 9. Now he calls it the fellowship of the mystery. He's going to say the same thing, but now watch what he's going to say. From the beginning of the world, he's been hidden in God, which created all things. So this mystery, he wants all men to see the fellowship of this mystery. It's hidden in God from the foundations of the world. Now it's been made available to us, okay? And this mystery, the intention of it, is the next verse. Verse 10. To the intent that now, say now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church. All this was the manifold wisdom of God. What are the principalities and powers? This is not the demonic arena here. You know why it's not? Because you have no business operating in a demonic arena. We already discovered that. God bypassed the whole Daniel thing. Remember that? We receive directly from our Father now. Well, don't we wrestle against principalities and powers? Yes, you wrestle with them. As soon as the fruit releases, you will start wrestling with them. Trust me, they'll come and find you. But they are not going to intercept the transference of the kingdom to you, because that transference is coming out of the right hand of God, which is above the whole system. Now watch this. To the intent. Transference of the kingdom happens from the right hand of God. When you release it, just like Paul did and Peter did, you'll start wrestling with the principalities and powers. To the intent now. The principalities and powers. This is actually speaking. Listen, this principalities means rule and magistrate. Power. Listen to what power means. Power, authority, jurisdiction, and rule of government. This intention that God had planned in Christ Jesus, that now the governmental ruling authority of heaven, the government of heaven, the glories of the kingdom of God would now be known and understood. The heavenly places which God dwells would now be known and understood by his church. And all this was the manifold wisdom of God, that we could come up in Christ. He made heaven and earth one, gave us access into heaven to understand how spiritual spiritual things work, to understand how the rule and the magistrate of heaven works, to understand how the kingdom works, to understand how the transfer of the kingdom works. All of this was hidden in Christ and now has been made available, and all this understanding has been made known to the church, and all this is the wisdom of God. And that's why he says 2 verses later, in whom now we have access to all of this now. God's granted us access in Christ to all of this kingdom, because we have to understand this kingdom and how it releases here. And now it's made known and available to us in Christ. Not only has it been made known, he made it available. The kingdom of God, you can just say that authority and power, the kingdom of God's been made available. You are the one that that kingdom's going to transfer through. We're going to get positioned to receive the kingdom. How much can I receive? Well, according to the Lord's, you can receive the whole thing. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Remember what we're talking about, working out the finished work? Really want to know the truth? The kingdom of God is within you. He's already brought it right here. He's going to make the transfer to your domain, and then the Holy Ghost is going to start the demonstration process, the multiplication process, the fruit, what everybody wants. Amen? Let's give him praise.